So something that I've thought about for a long time, but especially with my current health situation, is when we're talking about mountain guiding, and I'm going to be a little bit more narrow in this in terms of guiding versus instruction. And at times I've kind of included those two together. But when we're talking about like taking people rock climbing, where you're leading or not even leading, ice climbing, backcountry skiing, mountaineering, all those things, when, you know, short trips, long trips, whatever, when you're actually taking those people out and you're assuming the responsibility of a mountain guide, what are you really, when you boil it down, what are you really responsible for, right, when you're out there? And, you know, there's a lot of things we're really responsible for, right? I mean, this whole podcast is full of this stuff, of the skills and the mindsets and the conditions that we're really responsible for when we're out there. But one thing that has become really apparent as I'm in a situation where certainly my short and medium term outlook for my career is very uncertain, but even the long term, like I might in long term recover more balance and learn how to deal with that, but I might not to a level that I can actually do the work. And that's what it comes back down to me. What I've really started to learn is, regardless of all the peripheral and foundational skills, navigation, logistics, cooking, avalanche, all of those things are incredibly important. Personal skills, teaching skills, you know, whatever. They're all crazy important. But it kind of comes down to, if you can't perform physically, if you can't make the turn, if you can't make the move on the climb, then you kind of can't do the work, right? You just kind of can't. And it's crazy. And I've been thinking about that a lot now because, you know, I'm in a situation where I am able to perform to some degree the activities that I've done for decades, both personally and professionally. But can I perform them at a professional level, a level that at which I am responsible for not only my own life, but the lives of my clients? And once again, client safety is directly related to guide safety. So if I can't make the move, if I can't make the turn, if I can't put the day in, it kind of doesn't matter the rest of my skills if the task is to actually guide somebody in the field. If it's to provide logistical support or planning, blah, 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 base camp stuff, sure. Teaching, you know, in a more controlled environment, sure, those things are all on the table. But it really comes down to, like, I'm going to guide this group or this person up and down this mountain, right, or cliff face or whatever. At the moment, I am not capable of performing that job. And it's not just, can I do the move? Can I do the turn? Do I have the endurance and stamina to do this all day? It's not just about when things are going well. What if something doesn't go well? What if you have a worst case scenario? Can you deal with that at that moment? And I've thought about that for decades when I'm guiding, you know, in these remote trips I've done, where you're just, even when it's just general mountaineering, and I'm like, what would happen? What would I do if X happened right now? Someone twists their ankle and they can't move, and it's 30 mile an hour winds and 0 degrees out, and we're a long ways from any help. What would I do right now? Do I have the stuff with me? Do I have the skills, right? Do I have the physical capacity to maybe move this person with my body to a safer spot, safer being relevant, right? And maybe have to wait things out and endure hours or whatever the time frame is of trying to keep myself and my clients alive, right? I think about that all the time. What would I do right now? Do I have the ability to haul this person physically? Do I have the ability to pull this person in a sled physically? Do I have the ability to dig them out of the avalanche physically, right? Do I have the ability to run 10 miles to the nearest road if I had to physically, right? And that's a really interesting thing. It's like we either have it or we don't. And it's as you progress in guiding, you know, and you start off when you're young, that's where you start off, till as you get older, like you start becoming aware of the things that you can or cannot do or want or do not want to do as you age, right? Like there's certain guiding that I may not want to do anymore, but I could do it. And there's certain guiding that I kind of can't do anymore, even though I might want to do it, right? And as you get older and you kind of get more aware of and more accepting of your capacities, you know, you self-select terrain that you should be on. Like I don't guide routes that are wildly hard physically at a high level technical grade for climbing, because that's not the skills that I've really developed, you know? So I select the routes that I think are comfortable that give me more of a margin, right, than climbing a route that's a little harder. Now, granted, you know, sometimes you got to climb the route a little harder. Sometimes you got to be open to that. Otherwise, you won't get any better. But as we get older, we tend to be able to self-select the terrain and the types of guiding that we can and want to do, because we're just a little bit more aware that our bodies are not indestructible. When you're like 22, you kind of don't know any better. And I'm not saying people that are young don't self-select. I've seen that all the time with a lot of the young guides in Acadia. They are almost too self-selecting of the terrain because they're unwilling to put themselves at any risk, like trying to lead a route to just set up a top rope, for example, or bring people up. Like they kind of like only go to cliffs where they can like walk to the top. And that's fine. That's a choice. But it's almost going to backlash. It's like they're unwilling to step out a little bit to get the gain that you get from that. So now it's like I'm in a situation where I kind of can't perform at a level that I think would be acceptable as a professional in the field doing just more straight guiding. Once again, we're not talking about teaching a course in a classroom or a climbing gym or something, or even just at a crag. But even at a crag, as soon as we start moving into like being in terrain and kind of having to be exposed, maybe having to do some scrambling, like all of a sudden that is starting to red flag what I'm able to do at the moment, at least safely for myself. So it's pretty interesting. And the term that I've thought about before is audacity, the audacity to guide, to be a mountain guide. And the definition of audacity, let me bring it up here. One of the definitions, come on, dictionary. Oh, come on. Phone, don't fail me now. Let's get this one. A-U-D. There it is. Audacity. Intrepid boldness. Bold or arrogant disregard of normal restraints. That kind of mountain guiding, right? We're not doing a normal job. We're not living a normal life, right? Relatively speaking, like it's funny how you get used to your new normal, as I'm getting used to my new normal. It's like, oh, what are you doing today? Oh, I got to take these folks ice climbing, and then tomorrow I got to ski, and then, you know, another couple of days ice climbing and a mountaineering trip, whatever. And your guide friends are like, oh, yeah, you know, same thing. But to normal people, like everybody else, that is like audacious. The audacity to take people up and down mountains is kind of mind-blowing. And there's been plenty of times in my life when I have these memories of being in the alpine guiding, you know, and it's like you got a pack on, you've already hiked a tons of miles, you got thousands of feet of technical terrain to deal with, and you're up there and you're run out and you're in these like goofy alpine moves that aren't necessarily hard, but they're kind of cryptic. You know, they just kind of, sometimes alpine climbing's like that, and you're like, literally your margin is your ability to pull off that move right then and there. And if you don't, the consequences are not great because of the other factors that may be in play, you know? And it's like, I just remember being out on a handful of times on Katahdin and just like in that precarious position. I'm in like, you know, approach shoes, got the pack on, the gear's a little bit below my feet, you know, because there's no other gear. And I'm kind of like sussing out this quirky move. And I'm like, wow, I have zero margin except my physical capacity to perform this movement right now. All the other skills are irrelevant right at this moment. They help me get me here, for sure, but they are relevant right now. My ability to perform right now is the most important thing. And that's the thing that also is, as you get older, you realize that the margin, the kind of like the, the illusion of the margins that we think we have in guiding oftentimes comes down to, can you do the move or not? Can you make the turn or not? Can you compensate for your client's physical capacities or technical capacities with your physical movement, right? Capacities. Like, that's oftentimes your margin. It's not about how much other stuff you know. Those are all factors, but sometimes it just comes down to, can you perform this or not? I mean, there's this route that I love to guide in Acadia. It's a little single pitch route. It's beautiful, straight up crack in a slab. Beautiful 5-7 finger crack at the beginning, just perfect angle, right? Beautiful little pods for your feet and your fingers. Kind of get up over that, eases off a little bit, so it's a little lower angle. Then it steepens up to a steep slab with a kind of tricky, it's like 5-9 plus, a tricky longer reach move with feet kind of paddling on just granite slab. And you kind of have to lock off and reach for this juggy hold. And it's a reach, especially for me. There's a few ways to do the route. But in the crux sequence, your gear is at your feet, below your feet. And because the transition goes from kind of lower angle slab into high angle slab, right, and your gear is roughly at that transition, you're at this like fulcrum if you fall to just kind of get pounded into this ledge, right? And I've seen it go both ways. You'll either be fine if you fall off, because I've seen people do that and be fine. I've also seen people get really hurt when they fall off. And you're in this move, and I love guiding this route because it's a beautiful route. But I remember a couple seasons ago, it was end of the season, I think the end of the day, I get on this route. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna guide this route. And I'm leading up, and I'm at the crux move, and you're on this little rail. You're just crimping. And you got to get your feet really high and just reach really long. It's a long reach for me. To an awesome jug, huge jug. But it's like, you gotta make the move. And I get up and I start to get up into the move to the lock off. And there's a moment and I was like, I don't think I have it. And I kind of like, for a split second, kind of started to back down. And I was like, no, you chose to guide this route. Like, you have to have it. This route is not a route where you can pull on gear through the crux, side slip down the slope and make a turn lower. Like, you have to do this move. There is no other option. I guess you could down climb, but you're like, even down climbing from that position would be a little awkward. It's just probably easier just to go for the move. And so I like double down. I'm like, all right, I got to make this move, you know? And it's just like, there are times and places as mountain guides where it's like, there is no other option besides making the move. That is the option right now. It's either you do it or you don't, right? And that route is definitely one of these routes where you have to make the move, you know? So when I was thinking about just some of the experiences in my life, like once again, like, do you have the capacity to deal with this? When I took my advanced rock guide course years ago, a couple of the people that I was staying with out in Vegas, I had just met that day there. Everybody's flying in. It was the day before the course. And there's these two other guys, and we all decided to go out to a local crag. They wanted to do a little rock climbing and do the rescue drill. I just wanted to chill out in a beautiful place. So I was out with them. And one of the guys was leading up a route and fell off, piece pulled, and he took about a 45-foot ground fall. Smack, right? And after, a medical assessment, you know, ultimately he only sprained his ankle kind of amazingly, and not even that badly. But at the time, like, his whole body seemed fine, but his biggest issue was ankle. Didn't know if it was broken. He was in a lot of pain, very unagitated. there was no way for him to walk out in his mental state and his physical state at the moment. So me and the other guy carried him out. You know, we did an elongated mountaineer's coil, did a two-person carry, and we were probably about 3/4 of a mile from the car. Getting along the base of the cliff was tight and narrow, so it wasn't easy to do a two-person carry in that terrain until we got into flatter ground. And even just that 3/4 of a mile, like, we were exhausted by the time we got to the car. Absolutely exhausted pulling this guy out over a relatively easy terrain, over a relatively short distance, you know, and he didn't have any other larger complicating injuries. And if he did, we might not be caring at all. We'd have to call for somebody else. But, like, that ability to just, like, all right, well, this is going to suck, but we're going to do this and we can do this. That right now is not an option I have available to me, right? I couldn't do that right now. And, juxtapose that scenario in Vegas. We were actually close to the road, but put that into context if you're way out there and you're like, we might need to try to move this person, at least move them into a position where they can get more definitive care. Maybe that's getting into a place where a helicopter can actually land or whatever it is, and you need to physically move them. And maybe you're by yourself, maybe you have another person, maybe whatever. Like, can you do it or can you not do it? So I just think that's really, really interesting as I've kind of dealing with my own physicality right now. Like, what does mountain guiding boil down to when we're actually taking people on routes in the mountains? Or, like I said, even cragging, right? Being able to scramble around the top of a crag, you know, and get into position to do stuff is part of our job. We have to expose ourselves to some hazards to do our jobs. We cannot always be 100% attached safely to the earth, right? Movement is a huge critical piece in our safety, then therefore our client safety. I'm in this situation right now where, you know, I haven't worked all winter. I'm getting stronger. I'm doing some physical therapy. Some weight training. I do have some physical therapy coming up with a balance specialist in March. I'm getting stronger. I'm getting out. I'm doing stuff. I mean, I'm climbing the gym and that's getting better. I've been ski touring, just that, you know, ski area. So, you know, on the piste, but still ski touring, that's feeling great actually. And, you know, I have 2 trips in April, in Europe. I have a Norway sailboat based ski trip up based out of Tromsø, so above the Arctic Circle, and I, on the way back, I was going to hit Iceland for a week. And the Norway trip I'm doing with my good friend Peter Doucette, he's one of my closest friends. We've been friends for a long, long, long time. And, you know, right now the question is, can I do the trip or not? And it kind of comes down to, can you physically perform or not? Like, all the other skills that I bring to the table on this trip, all the up and down guiding skills, the navigation skills, growing up sailing, so being on a sailboat, you know, maritime snowpacks like that, you know, the logistics, people skill, like all the other things I bring to the table that actually are really useful in that scenario are great. But the real question that we're being very open about is, can I actually do the skills? Can I actually ski? Now, all the skiing I've been doing feels great. I can kind of ski as hard as I want. So far, I haven't had a chance to get on like really challenging conditions, but my technical skiing, because all the work I've done for become a better skier has really paid off, and it's just kind of feeling good. So I think I can do the skiing. I think I can do the touring. But, like, could I do some short roping? Don't know. If someone gets caught in an avalanche and we have to dig out and hang out for a while, like, would I have the physical capacity, which turns into mental capacity, right? Because if I burn up all my energy doing physical things more quickly now, I'm going to lose the capacity mentally to kind of stay on point and focused. That's just the truth with fatigue, right? So despite all the things I bring to the table, is my new normal good enough. And the trip is pretty cush. Like, we've outsourced most of the stuff you have to worry about. We're on a boat for 8 days. We don't have to worry about food. We don't have to worry about lodging. We don't have to worry about transportation. The captain's done this a bazillion times. They're going to put us in the good places to ski. We already told them roughly what we want to do with the group, and great clients, right? Chill clients. They want to have fun, but they're fit enough to go out and ski well, but they just want to have fun. We're not going to ski anything crazy. Like, it's like there's two of us and there's only four clients. Like, everything is kind of perfect to guide in general, but also to have a guide that maybe not performing at the same level they were, let's just say me, before this event with my my health, right? Like, in a lot of ways, it's a perfect setup to still do it. But the question still remains, as a professional, should I go on this trip or not? And we have to decide that as a team, whether or not what I'm bringing to the table is additive enough to be there in that trip, or is there enough detriment for me being there if I can't perform my job to the level that I could have done a few months ago? Does that the decision have to be made? That's the decision that has to be made, rather. So it's just kind of interesting now being in that position, like, okay. I mean, I really want to go for all the reasons. The clients are great. Going to Norway. I haven't been to Norway yet. I love mountains and oceans. You know that. I love ski touring. I grew up sailing, so I'm familiar with sailing and rigging. We're going to be above the Arctic Circle. I'm with Peter. He's my closest friend, one of my closest friends. It's like, it's just so many reasons what I want to go. And we're right at the cusp of being like, yes or no. And I don't know. And the interesting thing for me right now is that the progression with the balance is very slow. Like, I'm getting better, but partly because I'm just getting more comfortable and familiar. My brain's learning how to compensate. It's really hard to know, like, what's actual, like, structural improvement in my body versus just getting used to my new normal. And I will be fitter in a month and a half when we're going to be in Norway. But will I be fit enough and capable enough, despite all the other skills that I got really good at? Peter often jokes to me, he's like, you got really good at all the skills that most guides aren't good at. And I was like, well, those are important skills. And I always kind of waved my flags, like, look how important these skills are. You should have these skills. You should get things really polished, really good. And now that I'm in a position where it's like, they're not irrelevant, but they're not as important in terms of do I go or not. When the task is to actually perform in the field with physical movement. Once again, if I just sat on the sailboat and just was the radio operator and did logistics and helped them do tour plans, like, no problem there. But to actually be in the field and do the work physically is now the interesting question mark, right? So, very interesting. And just over the last few years, getting older, right, back to this physicality piece, there are things that, I used to do these pretty intense, short micro expeditions where we're hauling sleds for several days and food, and, it's just these winter trips that are really physically demanding, especially for me as the guide. And in the last couple of years, my lower back is like, sorry, no mas, you cannot do this work anymore, because I'd wake up, not even wake up, when I was done the day, my SI joints were so stiff, I'd lie down and it'd be hard to get up. And I'm like, wow, your body's done this a lot. It's hard physical manual labor. And it's just saying, stop, please. Doesn't mean you can't go out and put a good day in. You just can't go out and keep doing what you're doing now, right? And I'm like, luckily, I also don't want to do that anymore either. So the audacity of guiding and kind of boiling it down to, can you actually do the physical part of your work, whether it's like perfect conditions and everything's just flowing, or shit hits the fan and now Now you have to dig deep physically and emotionally and mentally, because that's one of the biggest things that's going to help you get out of the situation. Certainly the other skills are going to be useful too, but without those things as a foundation, right, those other skills are going to be harder to actually accomplish and perform proficiently in the field. So kind of an interesting question: as we age, when do we want to stop certain activities, or do we have to stop certain activities? And those points aren't always in alignment. Or B, we're in a position where something happens to us, me being an example, and all of a sudden my body isn't the same that it was 2 months ago. And it's uncertain how that's going to unfold in the future. So something worth thinking about as you're going into this, where you are at the moment, right? And as you age, how you see yourself kind of doing certain things, kind of how you position your career. Like Silas says, you want to be in the right place at the right time, right? But also, for the right reason. And that's some of that self-awareness and assessment piece about what can I really do right now that's going to put me in the safest position possible, given the fact that I have to ski down this mountain, climb this pitch, climb this route, whatever it is, right? What does that mean to me right now? A month ago, I might have been able to do X, but today's different, so I might have to do Y, right? So definitely a food for thought.